Ladies and gentlemen, J. Hampton Keithley wrote regarding family devotions, praying to God, whether in a family or outside of a family. If for some reason you're not in a family, you took yourself out of a family, you ran your family away, you have divorced your mate, you have separated from your mate, whatever the case, you're still responsible to pray to God each and every day. It's tougher by yourself, but you need to do it. Be that as it may, the rewards of time alone with God are often not immediately evident. And this is where many saints quit, because they can't feel anything, they can't see anything immediately, right up front. And he goes on to say, and in our impatience, we run to something more visibly practical. But there is a self-deception at work here. The negative effects of ignoring daily time alone with God in prayer and reading the Word of God are also not immediately visible. The aftermath of falling, or rather failing to draw near to God, is like the decomposition of organic material. Slow but sure. Slow but sure. In time, we begin to see the signs of spiritual and moral decay in our lives and in the lives of our family members. And you don't want that. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how hard it might be, no matter how much the devil fights us, as we make sure we pray together and read your holy word together as a family each and every morning, Lord, grant us your grace, your strength, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to keep on doing it. And we know that after a while, by and by, change will happen. Good things will come to pass. And we also know that if we discontinue family devotions, family prayer, family reading of your holy word, and focusing on you first thing in the morning and throughout the day, we will begin to see failure and decay. So help us to be mindful of that this morning and throughout this day. Whether we feel anything, whether we see anything, help us to focus on simply being obedient to you in your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, please join me in reading. And I think for the sake of what we're trying to do here, showing families that they can have short family devotions, because there are some families that have the husband going to work, the wife going to work, the children going to school, and so forth, and do not have the privilege or the luxury of being able to stay in family devotions for a whole hour or 2 hours like we have done, or even 3 hours as we have done over the past 30 years. So I'm going to read just today Ephesians 5:22-33, and then tomorrow another section in this passage that we have read every day for 30 years, for the most part. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Everybody knows the old saying that it is the wife and the mother who sets the tone in the house. Maybe that's the reason why God is speaking to the wife and the mother first. And I know for a fact, depending on how the wife and the mother does her part, it determines whether things go smoothly and wonderfully for her in my household and for the rest of the family. Because in my household, it's going to go well for me. I'm going to enjoy myself, and I'm going to be happy and free in my own house. So it's up to you, my sister. It is up to you, dear wife and dear mother, to set the tone in your family and in your household. And so God is speaking to you first here. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And as I have shared with you in the past, loving your wife is not letting her have her way. And loving your wife is not letting her ruin the spirit in the household. Not letting her display a bad attitude or disobedience and rebelliousness. But yet, she wants the children to not be rebellious towards her and obedient to her. That's not going to work. It is your job, husband, to love your wife enough to tell her the truth and to rebuke her when she's wrong. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos in your household. Too many men and too many people got love all messed up and mixed up. God loves you and God loves me, but he will chastise us. He will take us to the woodshed and rebuke us privately and publicly if necessary to help us to understand that this is his world and we must do it his way. And to have order and to have peace and to have things to be done decently. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, the Bible says, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. And by the way, all good wives will get everything they want if they are good wives. They'll get everything they want and more. Your husband will see to it. He will move heaven and earth to get you what you want if you're a good wife and a good mother to him and his children. If he's a sane individual, and particularly if he's saved. But even lost husbands got enough sense to take care of a good woman. So don't you worry about that. But love goes both ways. Love will reward and love will rebuke. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We have too many children today who are grown, but they failed to launch on out there and do what God has commanded them to do. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And I'm going to cut it off there and pick this up tomorrow at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. Please join me now in reading our devotional passage of the Word of God in Psalm 69, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me." I'm smiling because as a very, very young preacher, didn't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. God called me to preach. And the little church I got saved in, we emphasize titles more than making sure that the passage was treated properly. As long as we get us a title, a sparkling title, we were good to go. We thought we had it going on. And pastor had not taught me how to preach the word yet. So he went out of town and asked me to preach. And I grabbed me a passage that had nothing to do with my title, in a title that had nothing to do with the passage, and this was one of the passages that I bounced from along, and I joined it with another passage that did not have anything to do with in the book of Revelation. I ran back that Sunday morning after reading this passage. Remember what I already read now. And I said, "We're standing on shaky ground." Woo! Had nothing to do with this passage whatsoever. I read back, I said, "We're standing on shaky ground. We're standing on shaky ground." And everybody had a straight face. Well, amen, preacher. We're standing on shaky ground. Had nothing to do with the passage whatsoever. Grab text, grab title, and run with it. Anyway, verse 3 says, "I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Didn't even touch that verse right there. "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Don't you know that God knows your foolishness? Pardon me, don't you know that God knows about your sins, even your so-called secret sins? The foolishness that's in your heart, you know you ought to do a certain thing. Your wise and loving father or mother has told you you ought to do this, that, and the other, but you know you ought to do it, but just because they told you, you want to rebel and have a bad attitude and be stubborn. Just because your parents told you, just because your boss told you, you know you ought to do it, but you choose not to do it. Some of you wives, you know you ought to do what your husband told you, but just because he told you, you don't want to do it. Now, you're listening to your girlfriend, you're listening to somebody else, but you're not going to give your husband thought in his mind that he was able to successfully tell you something to do that you know you need to do. Foolishness. So many people have destroyed their lives because of foolishness. So many people, the pastor tried to tell you that you need to do thus and so to save your marriage. You didn't do it. And now your marriage is on the rocks. Foolishness. The mark of foolishness is when you get wise biblical advice and you intentionally go against it just to try to prove a point, to try to establish yourself as independent from the authority over you, listening to your little friends whose lives are in shambles themselves. And that's how your life is going to end up as well. Get away from your foolishness and your sins, your rebelliousness and your disobedience, and your stubbornness, which is, the Bible calls it witchcraft. Confess your sins and repent. Get your heart right with God. Be humble and listen to the God-ordained leaders in your life. Join me in praying for government leaders. You say, after what President Trump said, you're going to still pray for him? In fact, that's the reason why we ought to pray for him. We ought to pray for him more. What he said this past weekend, calling people's mothers out of their name, disrespecting them, was ill-advised, was foolish, and unwise. And so we still obey God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When we are at our darkest moment in life, we ought to still pray the way God has commanded us to pray. So this morning we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings upon President Donald Trump and his family and his staff and all of his administration. We also pray that you, Holy Father God, would give him wisdom and all of his family, staff, and administration, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and the sense to follow your wisdom. We pray these blessings upon the leaders of all federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for church leadership, that you would save those who are lost, religious and lost, just going through the motions, open their blinded eyes. Revive those of us who are saved and lead God and direct us to lead your church to revival in you and back to our first love, Jesus Christ. And we pray for all current events. Lord, you know all about the things happening in the world, and you're in complete control. But you've commanded us to pray for all people, and we pray for the comfort and healing of the Burnett Church of Christ family in Antioch, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, where one person was killed and seven others were injured in a mass demonic shooting. And we pray that you would comfort the families affected by such an atrocity. And we pray that they would respond as Mother Emmanuel responded, that there would be no race riots, there would be no battles in the street, that there will never be another civil war, even though people are trying to make that happen. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media, that they would report the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and not be the story and not make up stories. We pray for all prayer requests, which we have hundreds in the prayer request, on the prayer request list. But Lord, we're praying just for a few this morning. And we pray for Marie. Please give the authorities who are investigating a criminal network in her town insight, discernment, and deliver her and her son who are caught up in this terrible situation. We pray for Leo. Please bless him with a visa, registration, and permit to visit his family in Bangladesh. We pray for justice, for strength, power, wisdom, and grace for your work. Have more souls to be won for your kingdom. Please bless him with a car for his ministry. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Cliff, we pray for Demelis, and we pray for Alan. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. Help them to grow in the faith. We pray for O, we pray for Victoria, and we pray for Rose. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, committing these souls into your hands as well as our souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading, The Go of Preparation by Oswald Chambers. The Go of Preparation by Oswald Chambers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. And the way that works, by the way, is you will remember because God will remind you. How many of us, as children of God, have gone to prayer and pops up this person's face in our minds to the point where we can hardly pray? That's God reminding you, you need to go back and get this right with this brother or this sister or with your mother or with your father or with your children. That's God reminding you. It's not just you remembering it. God is reminding you. And then leave your gift there before the altar. Don't take the money back. Just leave the money right there because you're giving that to me. I'm not going to accept it until you get this right, but have not made that right with them. You may take the money, steal the money. So just leave the money at the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Beloved, he goes on to say, it is easy for us to imagine that we will suddenly come to a point in our lives where we are fully prepared, but preparation is not suddenly accomplished. In fact, it is a process that must be steadily maintained. It is dangerous to become settled and complacent in our present level of experience. The Christian life requires preparation and more preparation. The sense of sacrifice in the Christian life is readily appealing to a new Christian. From a human standpoint, the one thing that attracts us to Jesus Christ is our sense of the heroic and a close examination of us by our Lord's words suddenly puts this tide of enthusiasm to the test. Go your way. Go your way. Go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. The goal of preparation is to allow the Word of God to examine you closely. Your sense of heroic sacrifice is not good enough. The thing the Holy Spirit will detect in you is your nature that can never work in His service. Pardon me. And no one but God can detect that nature in you. Do you have anything to hide from God? If you do, then let God search you with His light. If there is sin in your life, don't just admit it, confess it, and repent of it. Are you willing to obey your Lord and Master? Are you willing to go your way and go make things right with your father, make things right with your mother, make things right with your children, make things right with your friend? Go your way. Don't come and give me your gift at the altar when you know you owe $50 to your friend. Go your way, and you have not called him, and you have you're ducking and dodging him, and in his mind, the money is not what's important. It is your character that you won't call him and let him know what's going on. Whatever the humiliation to your right to yourself may be, go your way. Go your way. Go your way. Don't just come to me and offering praise to me when you're not right with your brother, you're not right with your sister. For some actual brothers and sisters need to go their way and make things right with each other. There are sisters who despise each other, and they can hardly speak peaceably, as the Bible uses the terminology, with each other. They can say, I love you, to everybody else, but they can't say, I love you, to each other in their own household. And don't be a hypocrite. Go your way. Make things right. Have the right heart, the right spirit, and the right attitude, and be at peace with God and with others. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to go our way. If we do love you, if we do want to offer up our time, our talent, and our treasure to you, help us to not be people who are focused just on that, but we are not willing to be right with our spouses, right with our children, right with our brothers and sisters in the family and in the church. right with our co-workers as best we can be. Lord, have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of this hypocrisy, this foolishness, this wickedness, this evil, and help us to leave the gift at the altar, but help us to go our way and make things right with those we need to make things right with. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, as we close this time of devotion out, because I'm called to share the gospel first and foremost as an evangelist, please allow me to do that for those of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in the free pardon of your sins. Jesus Christ said in one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. God loves you no matter what you have done, no matter what you're doing, or who you're doing it with. God loves you. "That he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, that is, but have everlasting life in heaven with God." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you want to be saved from eternal punishment in hell because of your sins, acknowledge that you are a sinner. Acknowledge that you have sinned. You have done wrong. You have done evil. You have broken the commandments of God. Admit that you have lied about something. Admit that you have stolen something. Admit that you have lusted after something or somebody that does not belong to you. And therefore, you're on your way to hell. And in order to be saved from hell, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sacrificial lamb, if you will, who took away the sins of the world by shedding his precious blood on the cross, suffering and dying for your sins, was buried and rose again. And all you have to do is believe on him. You don't have to join a church to be saved. I got saved in spite of the church and outside of the church. Raised up in the church with both parents being preachers, but I did not hear the gospel until I was a grown man and in the United States Air Force. I got saved in my dorm room and have been saved ever since. And you can be saved right now. I shared a testimony just last night. A famous hockey player, he had heard the gospel, and he pulled over on the side of the road and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save his soul. He's been saved ever since, and he has been a tremendous witness for the Lord. I know of a great evangelist who read a gospel tract or a gospel pamphlet, got saved in the bathroom. That he picked up in the bathroom, he got saved in the bathroom. So you can get saved anywhere. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You know, we got these people who everything has to be perfect before they can do something. You need to get saved immediately, because tomorrow is not promised you. This afternoon is not promised you. There are people living right now. They're waking up, drinking their coffee, thinking that they're going to be here forever. Or at least 10, 15, 20 more years. And they will be dead this afternoon. They don't know it, but they will be. So don't wait. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul. Believing that he died for you, was buried, and rose again, I'll be glad to lead you in this very simple prayer. probably take us a minute. And when you pray it, mean it from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've sinned against you by breaking your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.